Welcome everyone to the gathering. It's good to see all of you here tonight, and I hope that you've enjoyed the lesson. We are going to talk about the power of redemption, and I just want to say that I have been wanting to teach this for a long time, but this is the time that God said to do it, and this is where I'm going to talk about Isaiah 61. It's one of my favorite passages. And before we do get into the lesson, I just want to pray for everyone. Father, thank you so much for bringing each one here tonight and the ones that will listen by podcast. God, I ask that you just give us ears to hear your voice tonight. Lord, what you're saying to each one of us individually. And I pray that, Lord, just those aha moments would happen, where we hear you speaking to us, Lord, what you have to say for us specifically. And I thank you for the power of redemption, and that you're a God that restores, and that you're a God of the insteads, that you have something instead of what we've gotten, Lord, that oftentimes is hard and difficult. And so I ask for hope to be renewed. Lord, new lenses to be for each one to be able to see, Father, the power of your redemption, your favor, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of my very favorite longtime passages. And a number of years ago, my late husband and I were leading a Bible study, and we had an assistant couple that was working with us. And the lady that was working, you know, was our assistant, she came in. She says, just praying tonight for y'all. And she said, I feel like the Lord wants to give y'all a scripture. And I said, oh, okay, that's great. And she said, it's the whole chapter of Isaiah 61. I said, okay, I'm going to go read it. You know, I couldn't recall it right off the top of my head. Knew a couple of verses. And as I read it, it was like something leapt in my heart. And little did I know how much I was going to hang on to that passage in the days and the years to come. But there's many precious promises. And most of all, what is in this passage is what God wants to restore to us. Do you know that we serve a God that loves to restore? We live in a world where things are tough, things are difficult, we don't always get what we want. We have people in our lives that make wrong choices and it costs us. We have heartbreak, we have financial situations and problems. And yet, I can stand here and tell you in so many of the things in my life, from the little ordinary things during the day to the heartbreak that I have experienced in my own life, God is a God of redemption. And we may have to wait a little while, but he loves to restore and redeem. And so I want to jump into the passage, and I want to start by just giving you just some definitions of redemption and restoration. I'm going to use those words interchangeably tonight. And redemption means to compensate, and this is one of the things in your notes, if you're taking the notes, to compensate for the faults or the bad aspects of something. To compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something, to gain or regain possession of something. And to exchange something. So my question to you tonight is, what hard things do you need God? Do you need to take to God for him to exchange for you? Have you ever, okay, I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but have you ever been given like a present, a Christmas present or something, and it just doesn't work, and so you need to exchange it? And you take it to the store, You know, and they'll say, oh, okay, you give us that, and we'll give you credit, and you can shop, and you can pick out whatever you want. And that is really somewhat of the invitation I feel God issuing to us in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is a beautiful passage full of many promises with what God wants to do for us instead. When I thought about what this passage meant to me, it's a passage of the tender love of a father, a good father. It's also an invitation to each of us to partner with him and to help those around us. And there's many promises for us to hang on to when there seems to be delays in our prayers. How many of you have had some delayed prayers? You just not quite answered yet. Yep, I'm in that category too. So, Isaiah 61 is actually foretelling of the birth of Christ. But it's also telling Jesus' job description. It's his job description. And one day I was reading this, and I was like, Lord, that is so cool. I love that. As I read Isaiah 61, verses 1, and he said, that's your job description too. He said, that's your job description as my daughter. It's my daughter. And I really believe it's a job description for all of us that know Jesus. It's part of what he's calling us to. See, it's one thing to get saved. We get saved. And then we're on this journey of learning who God is and learning how much he loves us. And then he equips us. He kind of cleans us up a little bit, helps us. You know, when we partner with him, that's the beauty of that. And then as we walk along, we get to give that away. So let's read Isaiah 61. I'm reading from the NIV. Version, says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to release from darkness. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. So why is the Spirit of the Lord upon Jesus? Why is it upon us? As I was thinking about that, what hit me was because it's all about God's heart, which is for us to have relationship, his love, and partnership with him. See, everything in your life is about your relationship with God. There's some aspect that God's trying to draw you closer to him. There's some aspect where he wants you to grasp a truth from his word. And so that's why he wants that. He's saying right there, he's issuing that partnership, that invitation to partnership and relationship. And then it says, because the Lord has anointed me. That word anointed, and this is one of your fill in the blanks there. Anointed means dedicated to God's service or hand-picked. Right there. Dedicated to God's service. So God anoints us. He gives us the ability to do something because of his relationship and love for us. And because he wants us to partner with him to help those that are around us. Do you know that you're anointed? You all have different gifts and talents, and all of us do. your talent may not look like mine. You might, I mean, I've had people say, I have gotten so much out of the gathering and I would love to share, but I cannot stand up in front of people. And that's okay. You know what my answer is? Good, just email me and I'll read it. I don't have to put your name. But not everybody has the same gifts. Do you see what I'm saying? But God has something for each one of us. And then it goes on to say, look what else it says here. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Now that does not just mean people that don't have money. That doesn't mean just, okay, you don't, poor is not just in that context. It could be poor in spirit. It could be that you're emotionally drained. It could be that you're physically drained. It could mean a poor in different aspects. Sometimes we have life hit us so hard and it drains us. It can drain us. And so God sent Jesus to preach good news to the poor. Good news. What's good news? There's so much bad news. How many of you have heard plenty of bad news? You know, I was here working out at the crot today, and I was on the little elliptical deal, and I was looking at the news, come up, and I was like, I'd just like to see one good thing. One good thing. Do you know, do you realize how the news is negative? Do you realize how negative the news is that we hear? And then that negativity tries to make us afraid. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. And it's a trap of the enemy. In the sense, yes, we need news to make intelligence decisions and to know what's going on. But we can't get caught up in the trap of fear. I was bound by fear for over half of my life. And the Lord began to set me free. I don't ever want to go back. Ever. I've tasted freedom. I don't ever want to go back. But that's the way our media does in the sensationalism in things. So it says, let's keep going here. It says, and he sent me, Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty. Do you know, and I know just in this group that's right here, I know that there's at least six widows or widowers in the audience that have been through some tough stuff. Losing your mate is not for the faint of heart. And walking out of that heartbreak and running to the Lord to bind up your broken heart is essential, but it also takes a lot of energy when your heart has been broken. But a broken heart can be from other things, disappointments in life. It can be from disappointments in people, disappointments in the church. Disappointments on a multiple levels. Anything that breaks our heart, Jesus was sent to bind up our broken heart. And I've held on to this passage in Isaiah 61. This was given to me, goodness, it was 30-something years ago, over 30 years ago. And since that time, just some of the losses that I have had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, heal my heart in this area. I had a miscarriage, loss of a husband. My parents and my husband all died within a short amount of time. Relationships that have ended, that have been heartbreaking, and disappointments. But as we press into God in His faithfulness, I promise He will bring the healing. When we run to Him and we bring our broken heart. And you don't have to have fancy prayers. You know, one of my best and simple prayers, when something would just prick that place in my heart and made it hurt, was, Jesus, this still hurts, heal it. It's not a big fancy prayer. Just take when those things trigger the brokenness in your heart. But most of all, know tonight that God wants to heal your broken heart. And that healing is oftentimes a process, but it's part of why Jesus came, is to give us hope and to bind up our broken heart. And it says, continuing, we're just on verse 1, to release from darkness, to release the captives from darkness and prisoners. Part of why Jesus came is to set us free from sin and the darkness that can at times surround us. Some of it is induced ourselves because we sin, we mess up, but Jesus is our way out. And God, when we take our sin, whatever it is, to Him, there's a freedom that comes. So many people have gotten a bad impression of who God is. Do you know that God is a God that when we run to Him with our failures, whether it's a lie, whether it's, whatever sin, entertaining fear, the Lord showed me one day real clear, and that was the turning point for me. He said, fear is doubt and unbelief, and it's not trusting me. And He said, I'm calling it sin. And if you want to get free, I'll set you free, but you've got to call it that too. And when I heard that, and that wasn't the Lord, I didn't feel like I was getting a spanking at all from God. I just felt in His tender mercy, He was saying, if you want to be free of something, you have to call it what it is. You have to call it what it is. And so for me, when fear, that anxiety would just like course through my body, or fear of something, when I would take it to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm afraid, and I know that You have something better for me. You have peace for me. You have freedom for me. And Lord, forgive me for playing with fear. And Lord, I look to You to set me free. I had to call it what it was. And Jesus came to set us free from sin. When you sin and mess up, run to Him, not away from Him, because He wants to help you. He wants to help you. It says in Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves to be burdened again with the yoke of slavery or bondage. See, the enemy wants us to be trapped in bondage and feel like there's never a way out, whether it's from addictions to control to perfectionism to dishonesty, whatever it is, He wants to keep us in that bondage and darkness. And you know what another thing says? Is He whispers how bad we are and how God is mad at us. And He tries to isolate us, because then is when He can come in with more darkness. So, Jesus has come to set us free. And this right here in Isaiah 61, verse 1, is an invitation. And it's like God is saying, I handpicked you. I handpicked you, and I handpicked you, and I handpicked you. And I want you to partner with me, because there's a whole world of people that need to hear the hope that I have to give. That's what the Lord is saying to us. Okay, and so Isaiah 61 verse 2 says, let's keep going, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And that's a mouthful. We got to break that down. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Favor is provision for any problem we have. Favor is provision for every problem we have. And favor is also being convinced that God is totally for you. He is totally for you. Now, favor also looks different on different days and at different times. Favor can be something simple, but favor is that preferential treatment. If my kids or my husband calls, I try to take that phone call because it may be something, they may need me for something. It may be something important. I may also answer that phone call and say, can I call you right back? You know, it's just, they have preferential treatment. In my circle, my daughter called tonight and she's like, hey mom, what, you know, how's it going? I says, been a kind of busy day. I've got people jackhammering my Saltillo tile out of the house and everything. I said, how are you, honey? And she said, and I just talked to her yesterday, so don't talk to her every day. So, well, I'm on my way to get Ellis, my little granddaughter, her lungs x-rayed because they think she might have pneumonia. I was glad I took that phone call because my daughter needed to know I was on her side and praying. She needed her mama. And so the favor of God, we have that same access with him. He's handpicked you. If you have said yes to Jesus and you have invited Christ into your heart, you are grafted in to the body of Christ and you have the favor of God on your life. And favor can look, like I said, different on different days. I've seen God open doors for me that I'm like, there is no way I could have ever opened that door. And then I've seen favor so simple as tonight, I'm rushing in here. It's been a crazy day. I've had men working in my house all day long. And I'm running a little bit late. And I pull in here. And the second parking spot right there was open. And I was like, that's a favor of God. Because sometimes I have to park on the back row. And I have to haul all the stuff in. But that's what favor looked like today. Next week, it may look totally different that day for my life. God's favor is there for us. And I want to just challenge you to open your eyes and ask God, open my eyes to see your favor. Open my eyes to see your favor. Maybe your favor right now looks like somebody has given you a place to stay in their home. Maybe you have a place to stay and it's rent free. Maybe favor looks like somebody paid for your meal at a restaurant and you didn't know they were going to do that, or they surprised you. Favor looks different, but God's favor is on your life. And what happens is we may not feel like it. And the enemy wants us to get in that little trap of self-pity. Oh, poor me. Oh, nothing ever goes right. Oh, this, oh, that. Yeah, bad stuff happens. Challenges happen. They're all around us. But God's favor is right there. It says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that means the season. It doesn't necessarily mean just a year. It means the season. And it's a privilege that we have as being his children. See, the core of favor is relationship with him. In relationship, that's where you discover favor. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, I don't think I've ever gotten favor in anything, God's saying, okay, well, I want you to partner with me. I want to be more involved in your everyday life. I want you to meet me every morning with anticipation of how I'm going to direct your path, but also open our eyes to the favor that we have. We can't find favor all the time in our circumstances, but favor is special consideration. Special consideration. And we have favor. Here's why we have it. You can't earn the favor of God. You have favor because Christ is in you. You have favor because Christ is in you. Because right now we're living in days of grace. And it's not something we can earn. It's not something. So, if you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, that sounds great. That sounds great for everybody else. If I would just want to ask you, have you invited Christ into your heart? If you haven't, I would be happy to pray with you. The team would be happy to pray with you. But if you've asked Christ into your heart, favor belongs to you. And if you don't feel worthy of God's favor because of past mistakes or things you've done, or if anybody really knew, if you don't feel worthy, I just want to say that you're believing a little lie, and it's not true, because you are worthy, and you're worthy because of Jesus, and you're worthy because you're one of His kids. And so I'm going to ask the Lord right now to just erase, take the big Holy Spirit eraser and erase that lie that you're not worthy, or that lie that He wouldn't want to use me, or He wouldn't want to partner with me. It's not true. It's not true. I'm as ordinary of a girl as they come. And God wants to partner with me. And I know He wants to partner. I know He wants to partner with you. So that's what favor is. I want to hear testimonies next week of how you discovered God's favor in your life, what He did for you. I want to hear about it. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. And the day of vengeance of our God can mean the second coming of Christ, but I think in practical arena, it is more of God taking care of things. You know, there's another scripture that says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." In other words, God knows. God knows the hurt that has been caused in your life. He knows how that person wasn't kind to you, or that person wasn't took advantage of you. God knows that. And there are consequences for our behavior. There are. And there are times that we have to commit that to the Lord. How many of you have ever felt like you were unjustly treated or abused or misunderstood? And there's part of you that, man, you want to set that person straight. You know? I mean, my little phrase is, God, just, you know, can I have 5 minutes in the flesh? I could really say some things. You know? And it's like, oh, Kathleen, your mouth can get you in trouble, so you better not. Better not. God wants us to take His lenses, His glasses, and upgrade to see His restoration and to see that we can trust Him. And that He'll take care of the things that concern us. He'll take care of those things. And we've got the Lord's favor. And let me just say one other example of God's favor. You know, Daniel was not spared from the lion's den. If you read the book of Daniel and you read that Bible story about how Daniel was thrown, he was thrown into the lion's den. But where Daniel's favor was, is he was protected in the midst of the lion's den. That's what favor looked like for Daniel that day. We might be sitting here going, oh my gosh, I'm panicking. I'm getting thrown into the lion's den. You know, oh my word. Daniel knew God. He knew who God was for him. He knew that it didn't matter. He was willing to sacrifice his life for the God that he loved. And he and God were so tight. And His favor came in the midst of the lion's den. So if you're sitting there and you're feeling like you're in a lion's den, look for the favor, because it's yours and it's right there. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says, and this is for those of you that are sitting here and you've had you're widowed, I want to give you this. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6 says, God will be a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows is God in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families, and he leads out the prisoners with singing. And if your heart is broken and you're in that place, God is your defender. And I had several situations when I was widowed where I really needed God to be my defender. It was unfathomable to me that somebody would try to take advantage of a widow, but I'm telling you, it did happen. And the Lord said to me, as I was pouring out my heart one day to him, he said, they should not mess with you, because you are so dear to me. So if your heart is broken in that place, and there are things, I've heard numerous widows talk about situations that have happened, let the Lord be your defender and run to him. That's a promise you can hang on to. And it says he leads us out with singing. Okay, we got to keep going here. Verse 3, it says to comfort all that mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. God's heart, I want you to look in verses 1, 2, and 3. He talks about the brokenhearted and those whose hearts are in grief. When you're in that place, you do have a very special place in the heart of God. And I think, you know, grief has gotten a bad rap. I think that some well-meaning Christians have kind of a bless God, get over it attitude. I would wager to say there are people that haven't been through a significant grief. In that, and for me, grief has been one of my best teachers. I've learned more about the heart of God and learned about who God wants to be for me when everything fell apart in that season of grief. And it's like God is saying right here in verse 1, 2, and 3, I know this has happened to you, but this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to provide for you. I know you're looking around at all the ashes, but in the midst of these ashes, I'm going to give you a crown. A crown. You know, when you're crowned, it's like in the scripture, it talks about him giving a crown, and you've heard parts of my testimony about how the Lord showed me that I had a crown as his daughter, but I didn't wear it. And a crown, it's like the crowning touch. It's like something, you know, especially for girls, that makes you feel pretty. Makes you feel pretty. But kings are crowned too. It says right here in the scripture that he's going to give us oil, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And yes, you may be mourning right now. And yes, you do need to cry and have those times to process with the Lord. But there is gladness that's coming. And a robe of praise instead of despair or depression. You know, one of the ways the enemy tries to rob us is that feeling of despair and depression. Life, well, I know when I was first widowed, I thought my heart is going to hurt like this forever. I just couldn't even imagine getting to a place that it didn't, that I didn't cry every day and that it didn't hurt as bad as it did. But I can tell you that it did. I'm 10 years down the road, and I can tell you that now. I have that history with God and His faithfulness to bind up. And it's not that some things still don't hurt, but this, my heart has healed to such a degree. Also, there's a podcast, if you're listening by podcast, called Understanding and Releasing Heartbreak. And I would encourage you to listen to that one. God is saying right here, I'm going to give you a crown of beauty instead of all the ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and a display of His splendor. You know, an oak is a strong wood. And the Lord is saying, I love how He's given us a picture. I know it looks like ashes and everything's been burned to the ground, but I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to make you a strong. Not only are you going to be raised up, but you're not going to be raised up to where you're just wobbling all the time. You're going to be a strong oak of righteousness. And a tree, an oak tree, you see this in the oak tree, but there's all these roots that go out. If your heart is broken, it's a time for your roots to go deep with God, for you to get your strength from Him, for you to tap in to what He has for you. And that's how God is showing us right here how much He loves restoration and redemption. It's just hard to see it sometimes when you're in the middle of it. And that's where good friends can come along and help you to see some of the good that's there. Maybe your ashes are because of you're financially devastated, or you've been fired, or, you know, there's a multiple of things. I'm sure if we ran around, y'all could write on a card and give it to me and give me lots of other examples. So let's move on. What it says in verse 4, and they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Right there, some of you have been handpicked by God to change the history of your family. Some of you may have a godly heritage, but some of you may be the first Christian that's come along. And you're the groundbreaker. You're the one that's going to change and can change the history in your family by your prayers, by how you model what it looks like to walk with the Lord, because nobody in your family has done that. Your calling might be to pray for your family members that aren't saved. God may have chosen you, and He wants you to see how He wants to rebuild your life, and He wants to rebuild the generations that have been devastated by alcoholism, by drugs, by sexual sin, by abuse. Those are all things that rob people and rob families. And Scripture tells us they are passed down from generation to generation. But some of you are the ones that have been handpicked to change that, to change that. And it's like the Lord is saying right here, He's saying, I've got a new plan and a new deal. I know all of this has happened, but this is what I'm calling you to. This is what I'm calling you to. And here's another thing I want to leave you with. Your story matters. Your testimony and your journey with the Lord, your story matters. There are people that you can run into, and your story can make a difference, because If you have overcome drugs, you have a testimony of who God is for you and how He sets you free of that. And I know that there's some people that are in here that is part of you're building a testimony right now. You're building that. You're going to run into people that may not ever listen to me, but they'll listen to your story because it's part of your testimony, God's faithfulness in who you are and how He's going to rebuild and restore. It says, aliens, verse 5, aliens will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work in your vineyards. And what that is saying right there, I was thinking about Nehemiah. You know how Nehemiah was in the Bible? He was exiled, but he came back and he looked at all the ruins that were around Jerusalem. And God called him to build a wall. We think building a wall is something new in this century. It's not. Nehemiah was building walls way back then. I'm sorry, I couldn't help but say that. It just came to mind. Anyway, but rebuilding things, and I want to encourage you, if you're in a real rebuilding stage, you know, if you're looking at the ashes and you're like, I don't even know where to start, rebuilding takes time. Remodeling takes time. I mean, I know that. I'm living that right now. I started back in July and got everything done. Some of you that were here last semester went through just obstacle after obstacle, got it finished, and then have water damage. And so I'm still dealing with remodeling. Trust me, it takes time. Be patient. But God redeems things. I am looking for how God is redeeming this. And you know what's interesting is, yep, some things are in order. I'm getting new tile, and I had to look at that as all of this is going on, and dust is going everywhere, and I just had to say, well, Lord, thank you for the new tile, because if we sell our house, it's going to make this even more valuable, you know? So there's way, God, that's what I'm saying, redemption looks different. We need to look at God, what are you doing? What are you doing versus the ashes and the dust? And where we're at. Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14 is another one of my favorites. It says, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take courage and wait for the Lord. So many times we throw in the towel and we don't wait on God's restoration. We don't wait on that. We have to be willing to be patient and open our eyes to see things from God's point of view. Okay, so here we are now on verse 6, 61 verse 6. It says, and you will be called. The Lord is saying, this is what's going to happen. You will be called priests of the Lord. It's like He restores our dignity. He restores us. You will be called priests of the Lord, and you will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. And God is saying right there, as He rebuilds us, and we don't have to be totally rebuilt, but as He rebuilds us and restores us and redeems our life, then He says, okay, you're part of the army, get out there, and here's what we're going to do. Your story matters. Your testimony matters. You matter. God sees you. He sees your pain. He sees what He wants to set you free of. And He calls you a minister. You have a calling. You have a calling. You have a calling. Verse 7, it says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Now that sounds like a fabulous deal. Those things that you're ashamed of. Hello, I'd like to exchange this, please. Oh, okay. Yes, here, you can have my shame. And what do I get? I get a double portion. That's a good deal, folks. That's all the reason we should run to God with our shame. We don't need to be ashamed of our sin and run from Him. We need to run to Him. Look at that. What a deal. How many of you like a good deal? You like to find something on sale, get a good deal? That's a good deal. Instead of shame. God doesn't do shame. And if you've had shameful things happen to you, shameful things done to you, if you've done things you're ashamed of, it's not, God doesn't do shame. I actually have a podcast called God Doesn't Do Shame. So you can check that one out too if that's been a struggle in your life. Right here, instead of shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Everlasting joy. You know, I have marked in my Bible, and it's fun to see this. I have marked in my Bible 12:10. And I tend to do that in my Bible. I'll find a passage and I'll read it and I'll like, okay, I'm writing today's date down. If I write that date down, then I pretty much can go back and remember what was going on at that time. And I write it down to see, at first when I started doing it, there was a part of me that was doing it just because I was like, I'm going to see if this happens. I mean, I was really kind of testing God in a sense. But I did. Write dates down. When God speaks His scripture to you, and as you go back and you do your homework in reading these scriptures, if God says this one's for you, write that down in your Bible or in your journal. And I promise you're going to be able to look back in the days, in the years, and say, God, you were faithful in that situation. You were faithful in that. Man, that's powerful. Instead of shame, a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. You inherit things. You and I inherit things simply because we're children of the Most High God. Just like when my parents died, I got some inheritance. There were things I received because my dad prepared well. And there was something he left for me and my siblings. I didn't earn it. It was just a gift once he was gone. And that's what the same way with God. That is the very same way with the Lord. Very same way. Verse 8, it says, for I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting, he's saying, I'm going to reward you. I'm making an everlasting covenant with you. And their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All that see them will acknowledge they are a people the Lord has blessed. God is faithful. He's going to be faithful to you because faithfulness is part of who He is. Faithfulness is part of who He is. So He's going to be faithful to you because that's just who He is. That's just who He is. And He's going to reward you as you press into Him. You're going to have blessings that I have blessings I don't necessarily deserve. I know that. It's just a blessing. I'll see God do something and I'm like, thank you, Lord. I didn't even ask for that. And He does it. He does it. And then as we do that, as we impart, as we pray for our, we pray for those around us, as we pray for our kids, as we, some of you here have, you, there's people that you have mothered and fathered in the faith. You may not have physical children, but those that you have imparted, and been like a mama or a daddy to. What you impart to people, it makes a difference. As you spend time and you invest in their lives, and there's things that God is just going to reward, and others are going to turn around and say, man, look at those blessings. Well, sometimes we just need our own eyes opened to His blessings and His love. You know, for so long in my life, I didn't feel like God loved me. Felt like He loved everybody else, but I didn't see His immense love for me. And if you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel, just ask you to, just ask the Lord, reveal your love to me. Reveal more of your love to me. Some days, on days that I'm down or I'm discouraged, say, God, I just need a fresh revelation of your love for me. Just give me, show me today. Open my eyes to see your favor. He wants a partnership with us. In verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God. For He has clothed me with the garment of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. God, do you know that He rejoices in you? He delights in you? When you wake up in the morning, it's like He just looks at you and He's like, that's my girl. That's my boy. How many of you as parents or grandparents have stood over the crib of your baby and you just look at them and you just smile? Just because. That's the way God does in our lives. When we look at all that the Lord gives us, when we see it, when we recognize the opportunities we have because of His goodness, His kindness, when we look and see those things, you know, it actually makes you look good because you feel better about yourself. Look to Him. He'll help you feel better about yourselves. And then it says, I'm going to give you rejoicing to wear, salvation, and the jewels are what we collect in relationship with Him. And there are things, oftentimes I know in my life, it's what we have gleaned in the dark and devastating things in life. I want to tell you, as I close, another story of redemption. There are many I could share with you just throughout the years. But we had come home, my late husband and I had come home from MD Anderson, and we had come home on hospice, and we have this deck on the back of our house that we love to sit out there and entertain friends. And it was probably about six or seven days before he died. I'm not sure how many. He said, Kathleen, come out on the deck. We need to talk. And I took a deep breath because I was like, I don't think I want to have this talk. And we sat on the deck, and he said, this ball isn't rolling the way we want it to. And he said, it looks like I could be gone soon. And when I'm gone, he said, there's a folder in the desk that says USAA, and in it is everything you're going to need. And by this time, tears are streaming down my face, and he said, and there's one other thing. He said, I know you better than anybody in this world. And I know you're not made to live alone. And so when I'm gone, I want you to find somebody else that will love you. And I could hardly breathe when he was saying these things. And yet I knew that I needed to hear them. And I'm sobbing. And so fast forward 3 years, I meet a fun-loving man, my cowboy, who's here. And we decide to get married. And Stephen made me laugh after years of, you know, just going through just a whole lot of hard stuff. And we decided to get married. He asked me to marry him. And I said yes. And we're planning our wedding, and we're sitting out on that back deck. And here we are sitting there, and we're working on our marriage vows to one another. And we're laughing, and we're talking. And all of a sudden, I stopped. And that deck that had been that place of such sorrow and hard conversation was the very deck that I was beginning my new life with a man that loves me dearly. You see, redemption doesn't always look like what we might picture. And nevertheless, it was God's gift to me. And it's been a standing, like, icon of God's redemption in other areas of life. As we close tonight, I want you to stand up. I'd like to pray over you, but I'd like for you to pray with me if you have areas that you need and you want God to redeem in your life. And I want to encourage you to do the homework too. Say, God, I come to you and I bring the broken pieces, the things that have been devastating, the losses I've incurred in relationship, in finances, in family, and in my life. And I bring them and I give them to you and ask you to bind up my broken heart. I thank you that you give me a double portion for shame, and I give you my shame. I thank you that you set captives free from sin, and I give you my sin. I thank you that you give me beauty instead of ashes, and I take the crown that you've given me. And help me remember to put it on each day and partner with you, because you love me and you love to redeem. Walk me into my inheritance and open my eyes to the favor that belongs to me simply because of your goodness and your love for me. I receive your favor. I'm worthy of your favor because I'm your child. Open my eyes to see it and see life through the lens of your restoration and redemption. Amen. Father, I thank you for each one here and each one listening. And Father, I pray for the word, your word, to drop solid into each of our hearts, that no matter what happens in the days ahead, Father, we have nothing to fear because you walk with us and we carry your favor. God, you've called each of us to be ministers and priests. Lord, to give away what you do in our own lives. And Father, I just pray just that it would resonate in each heart. Your goodness, your restoration, your redemption, your love, and all that you want to be instead for each of us. Bless each family. And Father, I look forward to the stories of how you rebuild the ruins in each life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Kathleen Maxwell Ramby with The Gathering, bringing God into everyday life. I'm so glad that you're joining us for today's podcast, and I hope you enjoy the lesson. And remember, don't just listen, partner with God in practicing it. I want to give a big thank you to some people that helped make this podcast possible: Laura Jane Elder, Mary Mitchelstein, Lori Milton, Kala Melissa Johnson, Lisa Davis, Linda Force, Fran Hulse, and Deanna Caraway for their support of this podcast. If you love this podcast, consider becoming a patron. Your donations keep them coming and are appreciated to cover the cost. To give, simply click on the button that says Become a Patron or Patronage. My heart is to share my life stories of how God wants to be a part of our everyday life through real life experiences with Him and share His Word. I want people's hearts to be encouraged, healed, set free, and strengthened as they listen. I have chosen not to charge for podcasts as I know some cannot afford it, and yet I trust God to speak to those that can support the ministry. Also, if you enjoyed today's message, click the button that says leave a comment or like, and also follow. When you click the follow button, then you will get notification of new podcasts as they come out. And don't forget to check us out at Facebook at The Gathering Kerrville. Thanks again for joining us. And if you want to join us live, we meet at the Kroc Center in Kerrville, Texas at 6:30 p.m. each Tuesday evening. I hope that you will join me and the awesome team that helps facilitate these lessons. To register, you can email me at KathleenMaxwell1@gmail.com. Thanks so much, and have a great day.